May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the epistle lesson, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. You may be seated. Dear saints, you may be familiar with the phrase, dead man walking. It's the title of a movie from the 90s, and the phrase comes from the prison system, apparently around the 40s or 50s. When a death row inmate would be taken to be executed, as the prison guards were walking him from his cell to the death chamber, they would call out, "Dead man walking! Dead man walking here!" Now, the original reason for this is somewhat unclear. I read three theories. The first was it may have been a warning to other prisoners that someone with nothing to lose could become violent and that they should stay away. Or it may have been a warning to other prisoners simply not to somehow catch the bad luck of the condemned person. Or the third possibility, it may have been a badge of honor, with death row inmates seen to have some sort of elite status among the prisoners. In any case, the symbolism of the phrase is clear. The condemned prisoner, in the eyes of the law, was dead already. It's an interesting turn of phrase. Dead people don't walk, of course. But the sentence of death had been passed. The person stands condemned. Even though they walk, they are as good as dead. St. Paul, in our epistle lesson this morning, describes us human beings, as dead men and dead women walking. He writes, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world." Walking in sin is walking in death. Dead men walking. That's the human condition. Sin leads to death. The cause of all death is sin. Death entered the world through Adam and Eve, and we are all inheritors of that sin and that death. And so we, according to our sinful nature, walk in their steps. We follow in their footsteps. The sins that we commit are simply evidence of the natural inborn sin that we are powerless to remove from ourselves. But what does it mean to be dead? Is Paul just using some metaphorical language to describe our condition? Well, for one, dead people can't do anything to change their condition. Dead is dead. And so it is with you and I spiritually. Though people may be alive physically, they are by nature dead in the spirit. Just as when the body dies physically, a person can do nothing to revive themselves physically, so those who are dead spiritually can do nothing to revive themselves spiritually. Dead is dead. And spiritual death leads to physical death. Consider our Old Testament lesson. Here the Lord makes very clear the connection between the Israelites' sin and physical death. When the people complained that God had brought them out of their slavery in Egypt, when they complained that they had no food, which was a lie, really they were just bored with the food they had been given, when they didn't trust God to find water for them, he sent fiery serpents that bit the people and they died. Their sin led to a tragically immediate response from God. Any person that was bitten by the serpent was a dead man walking. Their spiritual condition of doubt and mistrust had led them into this physical peril. For unless the Lord were to provide a way out, there was no hope. Spiritually dead people who are physically alive may often try to walk themselves out of their condition. Some may see their own sinfulness as a badge of honor, like a death row inmate. They flaunt their sin, not caring what other people think or what God thinks of it. They are, as St. Paul puts it, following the prince of the power of the air, the devil. Others may fight against physical death with everything they have in a futile attempt to fend it off. Others may be indifferent to their spiritual condition, assuming that physical death is simply natural, the end of everything, or perhaps that heaven is the destination for all people. While others may simply despair, realizing their own sinfulness and death's inevitability, but seeing no possibility of pardon, they are dead men walking. But really, it's no different for you or for me. By all rights, we too should be seen as dead men and dead women walking, for we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Our natural inclination is to walk in whatever way the passions of our flesh and the desires of our bodies and minds carry us, by nature children of wrath like everybody else. However, God doesn't desire the death of a sinner. He doesn't desire your death or mine, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. You see, God makes alive. Only God can bring life from death. He made you alive physically, and he brings you back from the dead spiritually. Only God can do this. You cannot raise yourself from spiritual death or physical death any more than you caused yourself to be born in the first place. St. Paul goes on, "By grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus." God raised Jesus from the dead, and he raised you from the dead too. Your baptism was your spiritual death and your spiritual resurrection. There God joined you to Christ, the Christ who walked to the cross, walking not in his own trespasses and sins, but walking in yours. The way he walked is the way your sin and my sin led him to walk. But Jesus not only walked to the cross, he walked out of the tomb, leaving your sin behind, leaving your death behind. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, as St. Paul writes. But we often forget this. We often assume that we have some role to play in this resurrection. Trusting in the merits of Jesus in some ways almost seems too easy. Surely there must be something I can do, something I must do to earn God's favor. All we can do, brothers and sisters, is to heed God's call to repent. When the serpents came upon the people of Israel, they cried out to Moses, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." He didn't take the serpents away, but God did save them. All that looked with faith upon the bronze serpent hung upon the pole did not die that day. Though they were dead people walking with no hope of deliverance, God saved them. Only God could make them alive, and he did. Likewise, all who look with faith upon Jesus hung on the cross, they too have life. Only God can make alive, and he does. This is why Paul reminds us in our text that our salvation is not the result of works. This is why describing our sinful condition as being dead is so powerful. You've seen the body of a loved one in the casket. You know you can't raise them from the dead. So too, you can't raise yourself from the dead. There are no works that you can do to raise the dead. God must do it. And in Christ Jesus, he does. And this resurrection, this spiritual resurrection, leads to a new kind of walking, a new kind of walking in this life. No longer are you and I dead men and dead women walking, but living men and living women walking. St. Paul says in verse 10 of our reading, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That is, we are now to walk in those good works which God has given us to walk in. Our lives are now no longer merely the walk of the dead. God has taken away from us the fear of our own death, so we no longer need to live lives following the desires of our bodies and minds and the passions of our flesh. We don't need to be preoccupied with all the things of this life, since we have a new life and a heavenly home. Instead, according to the various vocations in which God has placed us, we live for the good of our neighbor. We are people who have been shown the immeasurable riches of God's grace and his kindness, and we, his people, reflect that kindness to others. So let us not walk as the dead, but as the living. Living brothers and sisters in Christ, you are no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. Jesus has died for you. Your sin is forgiven. Jesus has risen for you, and you will rise again. The work of resurrection begun by God in your baptisms will carry on through your death and will be completed on the last day when you will walk. When you will walk in the courts of paradise eternally with our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.